Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Tuesday, a blessed Easter Tuesday, as we are indeed still within not only the octave of Easter, in which we commemorate each and every day as if it were Easter Sunday, just to remind ourselves of how large the feast is, how important the feast is, that it can't be simply confined to just one day, but actually for an entire series of days, which we call days within the octave, in this case, the octave of Easter. So a blessed Easter to everyone out there. And even after this octave, we are still within the broader season of Easter for roughly 50 days, leading up, of course, until Pentecost Sunday. So we'll be saying happy Easter, blessed Easter, Christus resurrexit, resurrexit vere, for quite a long time. I hope everyone had a wonderful time with family. We're able to give the worship that is proper and due to God at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that everyone is doing swimmingly. Tonight, on episode 490 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast, man, 490 episodes. Kind of crazy that we're getting very close to episode 500. As far as I have been keeping track of the actual numbering of the episodes and all those things, like I wouldn't be surprised if someone were to go back and actually like count individual streams and everything. Like, okay, you know, does this one count as a stream? Does this one count as a stream? The number might not necessarily be that. It could be more, actually more in likelihood. It probably would be more. But really cool nonetheless that we have just been doing this now for several years and that we are getting to our fifth 500th episode of the podcast. And so to everyone who's been there with me, from the very beginning, I, of course, say thank you, and we'll see what we can do on episode 500. No plans at this point in time to do anything special. I tend not to do those types of things in general. I don't have the same time and mental capacity as I maybe once had, but we'll see what we can do. But at the very least, we'll be able to celebrate with one another. But tonight, we're going to be talking about some stuff. So obviously, Godzilla X Kong did better than anyone's expectations, including my own, because just like all humanity, we are human and make mistakes. And based off of the initial projections going into it, because they were pretty off, right? If you look to the major streams, major places like Deadline and even Box Office Pro can sometimes tend to almost overproject. Even they on their high end was still coming in a lot less, a lot smaller than what it actually came out being, which was around $80 million domestically. But there is, of course, a lot more to be said. You'll oftentimes see this in mainstream media outlets. You'll see this even in the online communities, or especially the most passionate fan bases out there, because Monsterverse, if there's anything I can say about them, it is that they are passionate. They wear their hearts on their sleeves. They wear their emotions on their sleeves very, very clearly. And I think that ultimately, that is something where it probably is part to explain as to why the film in its opening weekend at the very least did much better than expectations. But there is still quite a ways to go before we see exactly one where this film ends within the history of the MonsterVerse, both on just general ticket sale estimates based off of things like overall total box office gross. And the big thing, of course, that this movie has going for it, more so than the other and previous MonsterVerse films, is a much smaller budget in comparison to those films. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also give an update on Dune and talk a bit about both the box office for Dune and also for Godzilla X Kong using my random crazy charting method, which looks into the fact that these markets typically have various and a variety of splits, right? Most international markets give 40% of the box office back to the studio. In China, usually it's about 25%. And in the United States, it's about 55%, especially since COVID, since the day-and-date release model became a thing when you had a shortening of theatrical windows in general. So part of that was people just opening it up on the same day as the theatrical release. And then others, they said, yes, we're still releasing it in the theaters, but for a much shorter amount of time. And that ultimately led to the decision being made that the contracts between them had to be ultimately changed, right? It used to be where the first 2 weeks of your release, you would probably get as a studio around 90% or so of the box office receipts. And that does not seem to be the case anymore, at least based off reporting done by people like Valiant Renegade. Shout out to him, as I always like to give him a shout out because he is excellent in this space. And we'll talk about plenty of other things also. Before getting further, though, please make sure you smash that like button, loud that fire button over on Odyssey, and smash the rumble button as well. Also, make sure that you are subscribed to the channel with that bell notification. That way you know every time a video or live stream goes live on the channel. But we're live on YouTube, Odyssey, and on Rumble tonight. And because the OBS, because OBS crashed when opening it, I don't like how it's becoming more and more of a trend for that to be the case. Some of the chats initially that were present were lost, and so I'm going to try and go back to as many of those as I can. So Ryan Liu started things off not even saying hi, just tagging, saying, do I think Godzilla X Kong will have legs like Dune, Dune Part 2? I'll talk about that a little bit later. Amber Sharonpot is also hanging out in the chat. McRib Prime hanging out in the chat as well. He has his own thoughts about Godzilla Minus One's box office. Snore Poopas was here to say, hello, humans and other quitters. What's going on? Orange Chat, the man with the orange chat, King Mod here on the channel, giving everyone the business, the rules. Prince Screen, remember what's going on? Prince Screen, GMonkey76, hail to you. Glad to hear you got the movie from the other day. Congratulations again on winning that giveaway. Awesome. We got Laura, the Mother Major General Story in the chat as well, saying, happy Tuesday, everyone, driving home, so I'm going to lurk. Yes, please, 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 please drive as safely as you possibly can. Rob D then said, I hope you had a wonderful Easter, a holiday BioWare refuses to acknowledge, but they'll gladly acknowledge Trans Visibility Day. Yeah, I mean, isn't that just, I think, a sign, and actually, now I'm caught up in the chat, so I can pull that one up. Isn't that just a sign of the times, and also just a major sign as well of the political establishment? And I made post on this about this on social media, but it is something that I do think needs to also just be plainly stated. When it comes to the fact that we have a president that claims vocally to be a Catholic and a practicing Catholic in good standing, and for him to then go ahead and do these things, which are antithetical, are the very antithesis of the Catholic faith, especially Catholic morals, you really start to have to ask the question, and it begs the question to specifically our bishops. So for the United States, I'm looking at the USCCB. I'm looking at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and how I feel that they have very much, completely ignored their responsibility, probably because of the fact that they don't want to rock the boat, because that means that, then all of a sudden they'll start to get attacked by the feds and all these other things going on. And I just think that's cowardly. There's definitely an argument to be made at some times in some portions of history that it might be better to play the long game. But when it comes to where our world is today, much of the problems that exist are because we've ceded ground, and because we've especially ceded the moral high ground and have allowed for these just very perverse ideas to perpetuate the entirety of all society. And this, of course, just being one of those things. And so I think it's also far time now that if it's not going to be the Pope, which it likely won't be, if it's not going to be Wilton Gregory, Cardinal Wilton Gregory, who is the cardinal up in D.C., so the primary leader of the church in D.C., if he's not going to do anything about it, if you even go back just to the bishop, I forget the name of his bishop, back in Delaware, his hometown, right? All of these people have what we call jurisdiction, right? So in canonical terms, what it means is that when it comes to the spiritual life of that individual person, in this case, the president, they have the capacity to put censures on him, right? They say, as you are a member of Christ Church, but you are geographically a member of my flock, or you are, as a parishioner, you are a member of this specific community where you grew up or whatever it might be. That means that there is a level of authority that is given, which allows for a bishop beyond just even the Pope to do things like excommunicate, even within a diocese, to be able to, be able to at the very least censure. Nothing has happened to him. So far, the only bishop that's had any cojones to do anything and stand up for what is right and true has been Archbishop Gomez, I believe is his name, out in California, who put an official censure on Nancy Pelosi. And that was after years and years and years of him trying to work out things behind the scenes that just never actually came to fruition. What we really need is strength, though. Now more than ever, especially in our world, especially in our church, we need strength. We need clarity more so than anything. And I think that you look at what's going on right now and the fact that the president of the United States, who claims to be Catholic, and I'm sorry, he's not. To be Catholic is not just to believe in Jesus Christ. It means also to commit yourself to hold to all of the things that Christ has revealed to us. And all the things that Christ has revealed to us are remaining in and are preserved within the Catholic Church. So for him to be able to reject this with no consequence whatsoever when he is clearly in public sin through public scandal is demonic. It is awful. And I'm really hoping and praying, and I pray it all the time, for the conversion of our bishops, for the conversion of the entire U.S. conference, for the conversion of the Pope as well, to actually start to give it is medicine. It's hard medicine, but it is medicine, because sometimes people are so far gone, it will take something so extreme for them to actually wake up. And nothing's more extreme in the church than to be excommunicated, to be defrocked, right, whatever it might be. Something needs to be done. Standards need to be set. Anyway, Luke Zilla, what's going on? Hail to you. Master of Gaming hanging out in the chat. What's going on, Master of Gaming? Glad to see you here. Let me make sure I did not mess up my chat. I keep messing it up. There we go. That's a lot better. All right, Midwest Sportsnet, what's going on? Hail to you. We got the Cynic is usually right. Well, I appreciate that. Master Gaming, happy Easter. Blessed Easter to you as well. Your Average Patriot Nerd, who's a member, says, Hail Odin, I finally was able to see Doom Part 2, and overall, I really enjoyed it. I just hated what they did with Chaney. Ugh. I mean, and it honestly, there are other things too, but that is definitely the biggest. Like, it ruined the entire experience of the movie, because ultimately, it showed clearly that the motivations behind all of the changes they made specifically to her character were because of modern day identity politics, was because of just radical, you know, fourth wave, whatever it might be, feministic approaches, saying, oh, we can't have in 2024 a woman portrayed in such a way, when it's like, one, if you go back to that specific time in the book, it's not that they're really being treated as poorly as what you've seen in other cultures that actually do exist beyond just a fantasy world, but then two, you're also talking about something that was a key element to that specific character, right? In the book, she is a part of the religious community. She has a role actively during that entire process, especially when the Lady Jessica is going through the process of becoming the Reverend Mother, right? Chaney is right there along with it, helping the process. And it's interesting, too, because not only do they decide to take that out and decide to just change her into someone completely different, you then have to add on to that the fact that they also decided to keep out the relationship between her and Paul to such a degree where the child that they had, no longer there, right? That motivating factor, right? A huge part of the life of Paul Atreides is the fact that his child dies, and they decide to keep that. Yeah, so many issues I had, and it really, again, objectively speaking, as far as the visuals, they're stunning. It's a movie that's going to be studied for years in film school, especially for cinematography, especially for visual effects, and I will not take anything away from that. Story, absolutely I will. Kimberly G, happy Easter, everyone. Blessed Easter to you, Kimberly G. Your Average Patriot Nerd also says, happy Easter all, he is risen. Christus resurrexit, resurrexit vere, just means Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. He has risen indeed. I know sometimes there's debate over that between Catholics and Protestants. Cthulhu, happy Tuesday and wish you and the chat a great evening. Appreciate it. Steven says, howdy, how was your Easter? What did you end up bringing with the in-laws? So since we were traveling from afar, we were bringing the kids. That was the gift that we brought. And we were able to, as a family, have, let's see, with the one half of the family, with my wife's family, we had a nice time. I was able to eat some mac and cheese and some handmade, homemade bread, which was very delicious, very delightful. And then the next day, on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, I was able to have like a lunch dinner with my family and was able to get some pretty good foods there. I'm trying to remember exactly what we had because it was pretty good. Oh, yeah, we had this really excellent pasta. Because my mom being my mom and always wanting to give us everything that we possibly could ever want, bought these giant pans of pasta from this really, amazing Italian restaurant. If you're ever down in New Orleans, go to a place called Impastato's. I know one of the guys there, he's awesome. and actually went to grammar school with him, so I've known him for a long time. And he's basically like running the show there now, and it's a wonderful restaurant. Its food is phenomenal. We got a bunch of other stuff there too. Print screen, hail to you, happy Easter. He then says, are there any other movies this year that we might all be underestimating box office wise? It's so hard to tell. I mean, you know, for all we know, there very well could be. I mean, you think about Disney Pixar. I think that everyone, myself included, are absolutely going to be undermining and are going to be sleeping on a film like Inside Out 2 or like any of the other films set to be released. You know, as far as films related to Disney, I'm not going to sleep on Deadpool, you know, because obviously I think that is going to have a pretty big release. I don't think it's going to be one of the biggest, though. I could see it probably doing numbers similar to that of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, right? Where you have enough people who have an interest in it. It's able to get some people excited, but it's not going to be able to bring anything after the fact. And that's the big problem right now when it comes to how Disney's running these things, is that they can have a couple of passable movies, some even would say solid movies, but they're never enough. They're never able to live up to the expectation. General Wingster, who is a member of the Army of Asgard, level appreciate you being a member once again, said, go on to say, Google censored my super chat yet took my money. Goodness gracious. Odin, I was sick all Easter weekend. I hope that you had a better time. I did, and I'm very sorry to hear that. It's a decent drive. This is the first time, that's the first road trip we've done with the lady Sif. With little baby Sif. It was her first road trip. She just recently turned 6 months. So still a little young, but definitely it's amazing how far her development has come just even in the last couple of months. And it's also just a crazy to think that it's only been 6 months since she came into our life. And so I think that it was, it was interesting because there were definitely some stretches where things went very, very well. The best stretch by far was there was in the last few hours. When we were coming back up here, there was about an hour where they actually both were asleep, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And it kept everything in me to not keep having to look in my rearview mirror and just see, you know, my son just passed out and my daughter, of course, being passed out with her little passy in her mouth. And it was just, again, it's those moments where you think, okay, yes, this is why I am on this planet. And you would do anything for him, you know? Let's see, Cthulhu. Odin chat, no, I will drive recklessly and make the 11 o'clock news like every rush hour driver should. Goodness. Print screen, we need somebody to pull a Winston and declare Biden excommunicado. Maybe not right now. It's a little too early in the show to pull an excommunicado. As far as references to how we use that here on this show, but as far as in real life, yes, I think that they're absolutely, you know, obviously that's rooted in Catholic theology, but even Catholic, again, rooted in the words of St. Paul, right? Where it talks about people being, you know, anathematized, right? Like pushed out, excommunicated. And this was something that was very well known at the time for Jewish leaders, right? Rabbis, those in charge of their faith communities, had powers of binding and loosing. And a big part of binding and loosing, keys to the kingdom, right? A big part of that is being able to remove somebody from a community. But again, it all comes down to that person choosing to separate themselves. You know, we can make the argument that the president is in cognitive decline and needs a lot of help. But at the same time, one cannot possibly for a moment think he is not aware that what he has just done, especially in regards to what happened most recently with the 31st being declared a certain visibility day for people with mental illness. And here's the thing, too, if you think about it. Let's say that our world wasn't crazy. Let's say that our leaders in this country were not insane. We're not woke. We're not corrupt. Oh, what a world that would be. And imagine if instead of it being this affirmation day that it was, instead, it was a visibility day saying we recognize this as a mental illness that needs help and treatment and we need more support for it, right? And we need more people in neighborhoods, in the local situations, right? This is not a federal problem that a federal government can fix. This is something that can only be addressed at a localized level. Parents, of course, being at the forefront of that, local communities, if needing to be involved to try to help those persons get the help that they might need. You know what? I don't think there would obviously have been nearly as much of a backlash about it being on the 31st. But the fact that it's something that's so diametrically opposed to moral teaching, to the natural law, and then that is being put in place by someone who is a Catholic, who does know that that is Easter Sunday, that shows intent. You know, that shows a lot of stuff. All right, General Wingster, Biden, you're on this council, but we don't grant you the rank of Catholic. Yes. Man. General Wingster, Odin, I'm a big Catholic. I paid big money for those indulgences, dang it. Oh, come on, Wingster. You know that that is a gross misrepresentation of the historical fact. Were there individual persons that tried to sell said indulgences? Yes, because any organization, any body of persons ever to exist has those that are corrupt. Guess what? Even Jesus chose Judas Iscariot, who, survey says, was a thief and not a very good guy, right? Would be willing to lie and to sell out his friend just for a few shekels, essentially. And so whenever people make that argument or bring that up, I always think, man, are you believing the false perception of history that you've probably been taught or what actually happened? Master of Gaming says, which movie will do better this week at the box office, Monkey Man or The First Omen? I'm not really tracking those movies at this time. I'll go ahead and pull that up, and then I guess we'll jump into the first story. But let me see if there are any updates as of this stream as far as projections. Because as you all know, I'm someone where I look at the numbers that are being reported, I look at the numbers that are being finalized, and then I can make assessments from that based off of different historical standards. I don't have enough resources to track things like pre-sales. I don't have an equation to determine, okay, what do the pre-sales actually mean? Because I've said this now for years, that even though pre-sales can tell you a very much bigger part of a story for a film's financial success in today's world, it's still not close to and never will be close to, at least in the foreseeable future, walk-up traffic, meaning people that are buying tickets either on the day or more accurately, more explicitly, people walking up to the very theater itself without having bought a ticket yet to then purchase their actual tickets. Now, in my own local area, it's not easy to see this because we have a very low volume area. What that just means is there's not a lot of moviegoers, a lot of avid moviegoers here in Chattanooga. There are, whenever I go to new releases opening night, the IMAX can sometimes be, you know, pretty full. I mentioned this the other day that Dune Part 2, right? This had a huge showing for that film in the IMAX screen, where probably over 75% plus of the seats were actually filled. So that was very impressive. There were still a lot of open patches. There were still some sections here and there because people have their thing about where they want to sit, trying to have a place they can put their feet up or something like that. And so we take that into account. We take into account all these other factors. But right now, just to get back to the main question, I don't have those numbers in front of me because there are no updated forecasts of what that film is expecting to be. All that I do have is an update from previous films, and let's see what they had going into it. So first off, let's see. Oh, man. So that actually is skipping that one altogether. Oh, boy. There's a film called Abigail. No, thank you. Okay, so as of the last update for Box Office Pro, which was on the 21st, so take that with a grain of salt. It's been over a week, and obviously pre-sales can make a difference here. But The First Omen is projected at 8 to 13 million domestic, Monkey Man at 16 to 25 million domestic, and that is for their opening weekend. That's the high range, low range. And even just on paper, I would say I just don't see The First Omen doing much of anything as far as opening weekend is concerned, right? It's a believe a film, it's a horror film, a part of the franchise, I'm guessing, right? I have just no interest in it whatsoever. I really don't understand the love. It just seems like they are putting out these horror films and they all look the exact same. They all have almost the same beat for beat references. And as someone who's not a horror fan, I just don't get it. It's like, why would you want to watch something that's horror related where a big part of horror is like being scared or surprised, but it's, if it's become so formulaic, it's hard to even argue that that exists. I don't know. Maybe you know more. You obviously know more than me because I'm not a horror fan. I don't have a lot of high hopes for that movie in general. So based off of that, just initial estimates with barely any data in front of me, Monkey Man seems like it would have the edge, but again, too early to tell. Let's see. Snora Poopis says Biden and Pelosi use the false claim that they are Catholic or even Christian for votes and nothing more. Their lives are testimonial to doing the works of Satan. Here endeth the rant. And I would agree and disagree with you, right? So for one, I do think there is absolutely an element of wanting to put on that facade, right? Putting on the facade of a Catholic, because then not only are you potentially getting just the general Catholic vote because of, you know, your so-called affiliation, but then you also are able to attract, unfortunately, a very large segment of the modern day Catholic populace. The ones that are probably agreeing with everything that she has said, agreeing with the policy decisions that she has made, which ultimately leads to the death of innocent children, right? So you have endorsements from them like that. And so she knows her audience. So that's very well could be a part of it. But I would disagree also because it could be, and I think there's a lot of truth to this. I'm actually currently reading a book right now by Abigail Schreier. So she is most well known for last few years. She released a book about the whole, you know, trans issue and especially the impact on kids and social media. So that's one that I really can't wait to get into, but it was a bestseller. It got very high reviews. So I'm actually reading her more recent release from back in February of this year, where it's talking about the fact that we have a huge mental health crisis in the country. And specifically, let me see if I can just pull my Audible up real quick. So the book's title is Bad Therapy: Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. And so I'm drawn to that because as someone who teaches, right, it's good for me to, I think, find out a little bit more about what is the current scholarship out there. What are some of the problems that we see arising? Because there's obviously a connection here to some of the other issues that have been out there. But I bring that up because by kind of being my head being in that space, the other thing that it could be that's not that, Snora Poopis, is that they have already built up within themselves such a false notion of Catholicism that they firmly believe that they are Orthodox, that they believe that they are following what the church has laid out, that they believe that they are in good standing, right? They'll use anything and everything, including a general airplane interview from the recent Pope, to try to justify their methodologies. And basically, they'll try to separate themselves, right? They will try to take away the concept of faith in their civil life and vice versa, which very much goes against Catholic social teaching. This is something I go over with my kids, right? That if you look back at documents like Immortale Dei specifically, right, that deals in that document about a proper separation of church and state, not this false notion that we have in today's world. We have a very liberal mindset when it comes to this, and it's just not based in what is actually practical. But essentially that you have civil and you have ecclesial, and they have their own distinct spheres. However, they also share power with one another because their subjects are part of the same group. And so what you see from that often then, especially in today's world, is people who are almost splitting themselves in two as well, saying, yeah, I've got the civil authority and I've got this religious authority, or I have this religious conviction, but my religious conviction can't actually impact. And so I need to then make up for it by either one, saying I'm going to vote against my conscience, or I'm going to vote against what I know, or I'm going to vote for something I know to be wrong. I'm going to vote against something that I know to be good. And from there, ultimately allow oneself to become so perverted, and I mean this in a more classical way, right? This perversion of ideas and of thoughts that comes about, and ultimately how one can get lost, and how often they do get lost. Icthulu at 743 says, the bishops are incompetent for not censoring a president that declares Easter Day Trans Visibility Day. All you do is make both parties incensed with the flagrant, with the flagellant disregard for respect. And that's the thing, right? Because we have seen some action in the case of someone like a Nancy Pelosi. And a lot of that was stemmed because of her public involvement her primary involvement in pushing for a lot of anti-life legislation. And yet she's gotten a slap on the wrist. And the proper way of going about it, because this is the other thing too, sometimes we fall into that trap, right? We think everything should happen the way that it happens on TV, right? That, oh, they should be called out immediately, drug out, put on trial, right? Grilled, and all the truth comes out and all these things. But we have to remember that that's just not how the world actually works, right? And so there is a fine line. There is a balance there. But we also cannot, and this especially goes out to the bishops, we cannot simply just sit back on the sidelines waiting for something to happen. Because a lot of these people, they're not going to change. In the mind of someone like a Biden, he thinks he's doing right. He thinks he is following in line because there are some bad clergy. And that's really, I think, the crux of it too. I think it'd be great for them to actually go after these public individuals, publicly scandalous individuals. But the more important thing is to go after the actual bishops and priests who are either feeding into this or are not criticizing it in any way when they have the authority to do so. Especially, let's say it's the bishop of the diocese that he goes to in D.C. or it's the pastor of the diocese that he still has as his home parish back in Delaware. So, yeah. Snorpoopus says, I listened to the audiobook of Dune last week. It's much better than any movie adaptation. Chaney never stormed off in a huff, and the movies never mentioned her child with Paul or his death. Exactly. Taking away a pretty big point there. Your Ashford Nerd says, exactly, it ruined Dune in many ways. That and the whole Southern fundamentalist plot added to the downsides of the movie. Yeah, in a book that had those themes, but much more in like subtext and implication rather than more explicitly seen, gets a little bit overboard in part two. Let's see. Hardwick's back. Starting off with a long one. It's amazing to see how long ago certain bad trends started. For example, the first time someone was given a Woman of the Year award for being a trans woman was Christine Jorgensen in 1953. Okay. I always feel like there's like a separation of time and topic. Steven. You're right. There's no way Ghostbusters Frozen Empire will come close to Afterlife box office. I remember seeing Afterlife and seats were full. However, for Frozen Empire, empty. Yeah, and I mean that's more anecdotal evidence. Remember that we do have to keep in mind that Afterlife had was being impacted in certain regards and in certain ways by you know things outside of its own control, right? But yeah, it's not looking great for that in any way. And I went into that detail today on the box office breakdown video. Let's see. Buffalo Alice, what's going on? Master of Gaming says, is it okay if I watch the first Omen and Alex Garland Civil War in theaters? Master of Gaming, I'm not your parent. I'm not your guardian. So my opinion on what movies you go watch and see is completely irrelevant. All right. Is it okay? You can't ask me or anyone else for permission. Now, will I give recommendations? Sure. I'll say, I don't think you should see, at least shouldn't see Civil War in theaters until we know a little bit more about what kind of movie it actually is. Probably won't turn out to be better than what we think it's going to be, but hey, you never know. Alex Garland, though, if you look at his filmography, he made one excellent film in Ex Machina, and everything he did since then was terrible and unfortunately had a bit of a male feminist writer's vibe to his stories. He made a movie called Men about the staring of men. And he also then brought about another film with Natalie Portman as well, which was this weird, bizarre, almost art house type feel that also just fell apart tremendously and was all about female empowerment. So can't say I'm all that excited for that, but you go watch what you want to watch, man. Grandmaster Yoda, you need to see Godzilla. It's worth the money. Look, Grandmaster Yoda, if you enjoyed the movie, good for you. All right. Good for you. But I've seen the MonsterVerse films. All right. This is a MonsterVerse film. Are you going to say and try to say that this is a better film than every single MonsterVerse movie that has come out? Because if it's not better objectively, then Godzilla 2014. That's kind of my standard. Now keep in mind, I think that's the only good one worth buying on Blu-ray, worth buying on 4K. The other ones, you can buy them and use them as coasters, but that's pretty much all that they're good for. So based off of that history, we've had one good film and a bunch of not good films. I'm going to say, even if I do see it, going into it, I'll say straight up, it's not going to be worth the money. I've not heard anything about what possible thing revolutionarily that they're doing in this franchise to actually bring me any attention. Luke Zilla said, my Dolby and IMAX screenings of Godzilla were packed. Lots of kids as well. Kong and Dan Stevens were the best parts of the movie. Overall, very fun but flawed film. Yeah, it definitely seems like it has a lot of flaws. There is definitely some mixed bags. I think some people have been pushing back on that because they go to Rotten Tomatoes and look at the audience score. Or they'll go to a place, I'm trying to think. Or they'll go to Rotten Tomatoes, they'll go to IMDb, they'll go to Twitter, right? You know, they'll go to all these other places to get a general sentiment and a general feel, maybe even CinemaScore. But those don't always tell the whole story. Box office is also a huge portion of this as well. And though the box office absolutely is a lot higher than anyone had projected, it's still nowhere close to where it really needs to be to show that the franchise is safe. And these are talking about raw numbers, right? There's definitely some scenarios where it's actually in a lot better situations, in a lot better, where it is in a much better situation, but we'll have to get to that. All right, last thing, and then we'll jump into some comments here. So Hardwick says, have you ever seen the horror film Oculus? I have not, and I don't have an interest because I don't like horror films. And Hardwick, you've been around for a very long time, and you should know this. Anything that deals with ghosts or demonic presences or whatever it might be, no thank you. Not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea at all. All right, let's go ahead and talk about this. So I did write an article over at geekygamers.com because, hey, I'm a writer. Kind of hard to imagine in many ways. But in this article, I was writing this in the evening time on Sunday, as I was getting last bit of preparation of packing done before heading back from there to here. And so I was able to get together some things, and then I finally was able to finish this last night when the article was finally finished. The article was released a little bit earlier. Later last night. Or actually, no, I think it was released today, but because it was written on the first, it still gets the byline as being on the first. I think that's how that works. So I go into the details here about why Godzilla's box office is a lot more impressive, right? So first off, it had an opening weekend domestically of around $80 million, though the projections for the actual movie itself were only $55 to $65 million, okay? So that's a big difference. That's a huge improvement, and word of mouth is a big part of that. Marketing campaign, marketing blitz campaign, all of those things are a part of it. Lack of competition, that's also a role, but it is just one of many roles that can ultimately impact how much or how little a film will make at the box office. I then also talk about the fact that, yes, this film's $80 million domestic opening is great. In the opening weekend, now that we have the Monday numbers, it's actually over $200 million. But before then, right, it got pretty close to $200 million worldwide, right? But then you have to say, okay, but where are the other films in standing against this? Okay, well, you look to Godzilla 2014, made $120 million versus the $200 million roughly made. Sorry, this is talking here about the overall domestic $120 million. Sorry, no, that's the worldwide number. $120 million made by Godzilla 2014 versus that made the $80 million made domestically in its opening for Godzilla X Kong. Now remember, right, this is the early days of the MonsterVerse, and so it wasn't like there was a whole lot of hype necessarily for 2014, but also That's about $40 million worth of difference for ticket sales. For those that don't like those inflationary numbers, you look at the overall ticket sales for Godzilla 2014, 11.4 million tickets to the 6.1 million tickets made by and sold by this most recent movie. So the point of that is to say, yes, it is doing well, but it's still not doing as well as the first film did. And when you take into account ticket prices, it's the third worst performing. So it's trending upwards. It's a lot better than what had happened back in 2021, but it is still not anywhere close to where it needs to be. I also have a little blip here about how Frozen Empire fell off like a cliff. Now, a lot of people, I think, have been making the mistake of saying, well, the word of mouth on this thing is great, and there's going to be so much people buying toys and action figures and merchandise and all these other things. I have not seen any evidence to back that up, meaning I don't have any actual data suggesting that sales have increased. It very well could be the case. So that's why I'm not saying that that's not the case. But absent of that, we have this to look at, okay? Criticlist, you all know, big fan of this, talk about it all the time. 31 people on Criticlist have watched this movie, and it's barely in the rad category. I think some of the more honest reviews about the objective qualities of the film, especially, are the ones that have it in that decent column, right? There's some that really hated it, put it in the bogus column, but a lot of people, right? On average, it seems that most people were hovering in that decent range, which makes a lot of sense to me, right? Because if you like giant monsters fighting, it sounds like this movie has something for you. If you want something that's a little bit more with a compelling story and with, you know, more effectively rendered CG, maybe that's what you focus on instead. But I did want to make that point there that, you know, IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, they can have those high scores all they want. I don't trust them. I think that they have lost any ability and any chance of being able to make up for those things. All right, the random crazy charting, though, I think is also a very important thing to mention, so I have not done a full breakdown here for Godzilla yet. Let me double check that. Yeah, not for Godzilla yet, but I definitely... Sorry, I do have it for Godzilla. I don't know where my brain is. And so anyway, we do have an update here. So this is another factor, all right? So we talk about how it had less... My brain is like fogging up, and so I'm like having these moments of, wait, did I just say something? Why did I just say that? Oh, goodness, I'm still talking, and I'm on a stream. So anyway, it's been a long day. So the official numbers as they stand right now, the film so far has made around $87 million domestically. All right. $87 million domestically. It's made about $70 million internationally from all non-Chinese companies. From all non-Chinese nations. And then about $44 million from China. Now, typically, North American audience, if you make $200 million in your movie, about 55% of that goes back to the studio. You get to keep 45%. Let's say that you instead have somewhere in Europe where the average for that and for those countries is around 40%. Okay, you put in $100 million, you get $40 million back, whereas they get $60 million. So you're starting to see, right, there's already some math that's splitting these things away, keeping them away from you, keeping them away from your own mind. But the China number is the most confusing. And let me explain why. I've mentioned this in other videos, I know, but just to try to have something where we can say it more explicitly. It is true that Legendary, who is producing 75% of the movie Godzilla X Kong, 25% being produced by Warner Brothers. Now, a question mark remains, is that actual production budget, or is that 25% for them actually a part of their other job, right? They wear different hats, as it were. So could it be just, you know, making up for those, the offerings of those talents? Could be. And I've just lost my train of thought again. I'm sorry. I'm suffering from some really, really bad brain fog right now. And goodness. So anyway, going back to it. In an article, the new person that is running... this is bad. This new person that's running... that's running Legendary, okay, 75%. They are a part of the Chinese company Wanda, who took over Legendary, right? So Legendary is now a part of the Chinese Communist Party in this way. And on record, he was telling in an interview that, well, it's going to get us better than that 25%. And so what he was referring to is the fact that most movies that are imported from outside only get 25% of their box office actually back, right? So if they make 100 million in China, they'll get 25 million. China will keep the 75 million, right? That's how it's always been. But there's a question mark next to, okay, but if it's a Chinese-owned production company, what does that have as an impact, okay? The problem is that though he says that it's not 25%, he also does not tell us what it is. So when he says it's better than 25%, that could be as little as 26% because that's technically better, but could also go upwards of 100% plus. So we don't know that. And so because we don't know that, that's why the numbers that I have currently with these metrics in mind, that it has made some money domestically, but not nearly as much as it has internationally. Right now, it's at $114 million in the red. Now, do I think that Godzilla will be able to make its money back? I think there's a chance. But look at the history of this, okay? Because I don't think some people realize this. This is using the 25% for each one. So again, if you're going to say, oh, but it's better than 25%, until you can show me an actual article that tells us exactly how much they have to pay back to the Communist Party, like what percentage of their box office do they not get to keep? Until you have that, this is all we do have. Because this is the only well-known information that we have on this. But notice here, Kong Skull Island was a flop at the box office, right? Godzilla King of the Monsters, another flop, $150 million in the box office. Godzilla vs. Kong, $125 million in the box, in the red. So the fact that it's already at 114 is good. It means it's performing much better than Godzilla versus Kong. And it's also, right now, doing well enough, right? Doing well enough to be able to do some other exciting things down the road. Again, only time will tell. Interestingly, though, if you look at all the MonsterVerse films, still about $442 million worth of losses on those properties. We also, and then we'll jump back to the chat, have the Dune numbers. And so these are numbers that I've been following. So I'll give you just a bit of a brief update here. So this film has added on a little bit more domestically. So it's definitely slowing down quite a bit domestically. Still adding on some international numbers there. Still also having updated this number now with a bigger China release, as we knew was the case. Right now, that means, according to my charting, it's at negative $2.2 million. So technically speaking, Dune Part 2 has not made its money back. However, going back to what I just said previously about the CEO of the Wanda Group who took over Legendary, he said we're getting and will be getting a better deal than the 25%. Knowing that, guess what? Even if it's just a change of 1% to 5%, it's going to be enough to push that bad boy up to its break-even point. So I'll say right now, officially, even though the media has run with this story for a long time without actually doing their due diligence, we can now confirm that the film is either broken even or is close to within the margin of error, as it were. And so congratulations to them for being able to do so. But yeah, I'm not seeing the $800+ million ending for this movie based off of what we have currently going on. But what say all of you? This is also another comparison here. At same point of release, by the first Monday, New Empire, $87 million adjusted for inflation. Just make sure that's there. Yep. Versus Dune Part 2. So if we're going to look at comps between them, you could potentially see that there. So $89 million Dune Part 2 had an advantage on. And because of COVID, we don't have anything for Godzilla vs. Kong. $133 million was made by the end of its first Monday for the 2014 Godzilla film. Just to show you how much the movie industry has been impacted by a lot of these things, by a lot of these choices, by a lot of these ideas. Let me take a swig of water for the working man, as Jeremy says. Man, because my mind was going out of consciousness for a second. It's felt like, don't worry, I'm okay. I'm just tired. Orange Hat says, I firmly believe that Pelosi and Biden should be removed from the church's blessings. Yes. Again, it's not meant just to be a punishment. It's meant to be a wake-up call because they can come back. But that means they have to also repent. They have to also have a metanoia, a change of heart. Seek actual contrition. Victor Fontaine, what's going on? Jetta Wingster says, tell a master of gaming he's not allowed to see any movie and he has to go to his room. No, I'm not Jordan Peterson. I will not tell him to go to his room. Orange Hat, Ghostbusters is doing well in more small town areas of my hometown. Plus, surrounding areas with theaters are holding Ghostbusters and GXK for an extra week. Yeah, and that might end up helping the bottom line for Godzilla, but the numbers for Ghostbusters are not showing up right now in any way. In fact, let me go ahead and try and see if I can get some further context on this. Because as you all know, we like doing things live here on the channel. But also, context is key. Context is very important. So, as a bit of an example, so at the same point of release, all right, second Monday now for Frozen Empire, that movie was at $75 million right now, domestically. At the same point, Afterlife was at $93 million domestically. 2016's Atrocity was at $110 million. So we're seeing a natural progression here, but what this is also telling us is that, okay, just as Ghostbusters ended up being the highest grossing of, you know, these iterations, Afterlife will have been the second highest, and Frozen Empire probably won't be getting to that point, right? I do have the actual official charting for that, and let me see if I can get an understanding. So right now, projected to make between 155 and 217. So that's the total box office that we can project based off of what we've gotten. Oh boy, guess what? That means that they are in a bit of trouble, right? But I digress. All right. King Ann Remsky says, I want you to know that I did not influence Shang Hong's review of The Beekeeper in any way. Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. By the way, thank you for reminding me of that. Shen Hong was here earlier and says, The Beekeeper, much better than I suspected, loved the dig at the blue-haired millennials being worthless. Yeah, again, it definitely was not as bad as it could have been, but it was kind of like a BC movie for me. Orange Hat says, due to people constantly coming to watch the movies. I also believe that if... Wait, hold on. I need further context on that. Orange Chat says, honestly, I believe that if GXK may not objectively be better than G4 2014, I do think it's a close second. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so that very well could be the case. And if that happens, if that is true, that's good. But those other ones are just, for me, so bad that it's all relative. Like, it's like, okay, if on a scale you have Godzilla 2014 on one side, that's the high end, and then on the other you have, for me, Kong Skull Island's definitely down there, but also Godzilla versus Kong is down there too. Which one is it closer to? Jeremy Sikowski, to be fair, even most Godzilla fans that I know of are very mixed on GXK. Again, I've heard that quite a bit, but it depends on who you're listening to, I suppose. Jenna Wingster saying, Godzilla 98 greater than 2014. No. Hardwick, Kong got shot off the Empire State Building in 1933. Any movie which contradicts this is invalid as far as I'm concerned. Oh, boom. There you go. Luke Zilla says, the director, Adam Wingard, wanted to push the limits of nonverbal storytelling for GXK, especially with Kong, the little gorilla Suko, and the main villain to give the Titans more focus. Yeah, I heard that he was giving them more focus, and that's a good move. It's been one of the big criticisms of their previous iterations, but... Rob D, Odin, message unclear. Odin is now owned by China. Oh man. Let's see. Print screen. I thought GVK was fun, but if you don't like MonsterVerse, you won't like it at all. But again, that's just the thing, because technically even Godzilla 2014 is still a part of the MonsterVerse. And Godzilla 2014 was actually good. I actually enjoyed that one. The other one's not so much. So that's a wide range there. These crossover movies seem to me an excuse to extend a franchise like Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. New stories, please. I would agree. They are. Uh-oh, boomer effects for Odin. Yeah, seriously, that load-up sound that we like to play for Gary all the time would have absolutely have been appropriate there. King and Rumsky says, any idea how the MonsterVerse compares to the superior Megverse? Oh, why are you so obsessed with the Meg? Why? Rumsky, why do you need help? I think we need to have an intervention. for our friend Mr. Rumsky. I think he has a problem. I don't know what the problem's solution would be, but definitely something to think about. All right, let me see if I can quickly create a chart. So we've got the Meg. And then we're going to add ourselves on there. I wish that had been an autofill, but let's try the Meg 2. Oh, it's not the Meg 2, it's just Meg 2. No, it's not that either. Goodness gracious me. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be looking at right now. All right, let's do Dune. Why am I doing that? I am just, my brain is just not working today. All right, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Let's see, do we have any more? There's go. Meg 2. That's just spelled weird. Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. And let's adjust that for inflation. All right. And now I want to add. Oh, man. I'm too tired. I'm so tired. I guess I got to put that one, too. All right. This is not the full chart, but I don't think my brain can actually handle where it is. All right. So adjusting for inflation, the Meg 2, $394 million worldwide. The Meg, $623 million worldwide. Godzilla 2014 did indeed beat the Meg, but they're not too far apart. Godzilla King of the Monsters, $451 million. So again, you see massive drop-offs worldwide in that franchise. Ultimately, though, I will say it goes to Godzilla still. It still goes to Godzilla. All right. A24, Odin Ghostbusters needs to get away from the epic crap and just tell a good old-fashioned ghost story. Sixth Sense comes to mind. I would agree, only I think, honestly, no, what they need to do is they just need to end it. You can continue that on in video games or in comic books, right? In other mediums. Probably gaming would be one that more people would be brought to. I've heard nothing but great things about the game that they made, right? The Ghostbusters game that they made. So that would be a better direction. It's a better use of money. And it, I think, will only be able to offer help because it'll offer new revenue streams that they'll be able to actually use. But in general, as just a general statement, no, I honestly do think that Ghostbusters just needs to go away. King Rumsky says, LOL, last Meg reference. Thanks for comparing the numbers. Hey, no problem. I was actually curious because I was like, I wonder if it is higher. Maybe not all that much, but it did beat a lot of the other ones in the franchise. So let's see, print screen. King and Rumsky is correct. Meg 1 and 2 are really good movies. Meg 2 was a blast and even better than the first. Good grief. Oh, good grief. I love you guys, though. Jeremy Sikowski, Easter weekend made Odin have brain farts. No. Not being able to sleep very well last night probably was a part of it. So, again, yesterday I drove a good 7 hours, not the longest I've ever driven, but still a lot with the kids in the car. And then my fault, I didn't get to sleep early last night because I knew that we had a meeting at school. So even though I still have to get up at the same exact time because of the kids, in my head, I thought, oh, I get to sleep in because our day starts later. And that's not actually the case. So I think I'm just needing some sleep there. But I do appreciate the concern. I'll probably have to end it soon, though, to be honest. Because, yeah, I don't like the feeling of not knowing where my thoughts are. It's very, very creepy. Also, because of my ADD, I had to share this. So if anyone knows Rep. Thomas Massey of the United States, he created something called a debt badge. So literally, it is a badge, a digital clock that counts the debt in as close to real time as you possibly can. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was awesome. I'm kind of this wonky nerd when it comes to things like this, and it's his design, but he did not want to really monetize it. He did not want to monetize the debt, but he has a colleague who, separate from him, I think bought the rights from him to be able to commercialize it, or it's either that or anyone can, right? It's like open source, so anyone could do it if they want, and so one person has, and that finally came in the other day, and so this is what it looks like. So as you can see, literally, it's counting up the debt right now. U.S. national debt is $34 trillion, $34,621,812,800,000, and now we're at 13 million, and it goes on and on and on and on. Until I feel like for any politician, the standard it should be is, okay, imagine if at least one person in every town hall for every major office had one of these and says, all right, what are you going to do to stop this? Because this thing is still going up and this thing ain't slowing down. This thing is perpetually moving. Like, when are you going to bring this down in the other direction? Can you actually do it? I don't know. Hardwick says, have you seen the Beetlejuice trailer? Yes. I don't know if you're talking about a new one, the one that came out last week. If it came out within the last week or so, yes, I did watch it. It has potential. Jenna Ortega being in there, you know, as the daughter of Lydia, I think is what that is. I thought the makeup choice for Winona Ryder as Lydia was interesting because they definitely tried to keep her looking just like Lydia from then. I think that they should have made some changes there, to be honest. Because, this is an older Lydia. So, yes, give her the same fashion sense, but don't necessarily try to make her look the exact same. That was one critique I had. Keaton looks great. But I will say I'm cautiously optimistic. Forever Sci-Fi, who's a member, says, Ghostbusters just isn't Ghostbusters without the original four. They need to let it go. And that's why that last film was perfect. Because even though they could not actually get the corporeal form back for the fallen Ghostbuster, for Hal Ramis, rest in peace, they got as close as they could get, and they even did it respectfully, which is amazing in Hollywood. Cthulhu ensemble films are always trash. They should have told a focused story. They're not always trash. Do you mean as, like, I guess my question would be in regards to what? A specific franchise, a specific story? In general, ensemble films absolutely are great. 12 Angry Men, one of the greatest films of all time. All about an ensemble. Kimberly G, Odin, shout out to Print Screen, my brother in arms. Okay. Kimberly G, going to continue listening to but have to log off. Phone is going to die. Good night, everyone. Good night, Polar Bear Buddy. Hey, good night to you, Kimberly G. Thanks for stopping by. We're probably going to wrap things up here soon. Shen Hong says, rumor has it Denis Villeneuve is going to reboot Meg. Oh, man. Maybe he could do it justice. Hardwick, I still remember when the national debt was $14 trillion. Yep, and now we're up to $34 trillion and counting. It's insane. Oh, man. Print Screen is a member. It just says, Jenna Ortega is cute. She's just a talented actress, and she fits that part very well, right? She fits the part of, I buy her as the daughter of Lydia, right? She's able to play that more macabre personality. It's the same reason why I still wish they had done this. I wish Christina Ricci had been able to come on to the Wednesday series to play Morticia. And if not to play Morticia, then to at the very least play a grown-up Wednesday Adams, and it's her daughter who has a lot of similar. I think that those would have been the better avenues to take, because I was not a huge fan of the casting for the Adams parents. It wasn't terrible, but Harvick, I did a double take because it looked like Winona Ryder hadn't even aged, and I actually disagree. I could tell almost immediately, and that's what was very off-putting about it, and why I just thought that that was probably not the best thing that they could have done. So, see, Hardwick says Eva Green would have probably been the best Morticia in Wednesday. Again, she probably would have been good, but I think as far as historically fitting in, I think that no, I think I still honestly believe that you would have had a better overall connecting story. For me, for that, I wish that they had done something where you have Wednesday Adams all grown up and is so much more like Morticia than she ever had thought that she would be. And she's married to Joel Blicker, because then you have continuity with the live action movies. And I think that that could have been a lot of fun. And if you were to bring back the actor that played Joel Blicker, who has done so many other things in his career since, I think that would have been a really fun shout out, a really fun flashback. But also you would have had really good actors that had good chemistry that would be able to work very well off of one another, and still have Jenna Ortega in there playing her own original character that could still be very weird and off the wall too, right? But with all that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up there tonight. Doing a little bit of a shorter show. Let me just make sure I can double check something real quick though, because I do want to make sure that this episode has covered all the things that we were planning on covering. Pretty sure we talked Godzilla's box office, Dune's box office, and we even talked a little bit about the Ghostbusters as well. And so just as a bit of a recap, Dune Part 2, technically not broken even yet, but based on everything that we know, it has, okay? Even if the numbers for Dune Part 2's China number, right? All we know from the CEO of Wanda Group, who owns Legendary, all we know that they have said is that it's better than the 25% that you typically would get for an imported film from overseas. And so even if that's marginally better by 5%, by 10%, that's enough to make up that $2.2 million that's still in the red. So that film finally now actually, you know, confirming it to actually start to make some money, at least as far as box office, based off of the numbers that we have available to us, because that's the other major factor there, which is obviously a huge step forward for it, as Part 1 was not much of a moneymaker in theaters because of a lot of different reasons. But Dune is still making money. Now, do I think that the film is going to reach the heights of $800 million, which it had the potential to have done earlier? If you looked at the opening weekend especially, it's looking like it's you know, it's been holding very well week to week, but it's still not quite there enough to be able to maybe pull that off. But, you know, hey, it is definitely not looking as bad as it could, and it's actually looking very impressive. It's much more, I think, than many of us would have thought and suspected the film to be able to actually do. Still tracking behind films like Oppenheimer, for instance, and I think that's also another way that we can try and figure out exactly where these films will probably end up when everything is indeed said and done. We also talked a bit about the box office for Godzilla and why, objectively speaking, yes, $80 million domestic is very good. That is definitely impressive. But when you just take into account some very key pieces of information, especially how much money was put in and how much more money was made internationally, you're still dealing with a franchise that really has never been that profitable. Even when you go back to Godzilla 2014, by the way, right, you're still looking at profits of around $1.7 million. Now, these are unadjusted numbers, okay? So that obviously could also have a bit of an impact in total cost. But even if you did that, it would still be a very small amount of profit, just looking at it from the theatrical perspective. Skull Island, $53 million loss, is $150 million loss for King of the Monsters, $125 million loss for Godzilla versus Kong, and then $114 currently loss for Godzilla X Kong. Now, I did add that caveat that any of these films where it was underneath the new regime from Legendary, where all we know is that they got a better deal than 25%, but we don't know what that is. They have not told us what that deal is or how better, how good it is. Then what you could be see, right, if you did that, did take that into account, maybe a film like Skull Island can be seen as profitable. But for that to make up the $150 million loss for King of the Monsters or the $125 million loss for Godzilla vs. Kong, I don't see that being the case. This movie definitely standing on its own in many ways. Third best opening weekend when you look at ticket sales. Still behind Kong Skull Island for that. Far behind, especially Godzilla 2014. Second best opening even when you adjust for inflation. But again, a lot of things can happen. Now, do I think, this was asked earlier, do I think a lack of competition is going to help or hurt this? It really depends on that word of mouth. We have seen, whenever there is a void at the box office, there are times when a movie can take advantage of that. I think Doom Part 2 is a great example of that very point. But, there's always a but. Never assume, because a film is doing well this weekend, that you're going to see anything happen in the same way next weekend. But, and this is the last point before we completely wrap things up for the evening, one thing that absolutely is going in the favor of this latest Godzilla film. As you all know, we obviously talk about the box office here. We cover this stuff. When you look at what currently the Sunday to Monday drop-off is between Sunday to Monday of this newest Godzilla film, guess what you get? A 54% drop. That's a very good drop. Remember, we've seen other films, big budgeted films, drop in the 60s and 70s and 80s from Sunday to Monday. In the 50s, not as bad. But many people may have been off for Easter Monday, and so even then, take it with a grain of salt. So once we get some more numbers this week, we'll have a better idea of how it's tracking and where it ends up by the end of the second week, and will eventually lead us to be able to make some firm predictions and projections on what will likely happen based off of historical trends. But that's going to be it for me tonight, everybody, because I'm exhausted. Thank you all very much for watching. If you like this video, if you like this stream, please make sure you smash that like button, light up that fire button over on Odyssey, smash the rumble button as well. You guys are all amazing and beautiful people. I do not yet have the April shoutouts video, but I'll make sure to get that done as soon as possible. Also, I will make sure to get a podcast episode out for y'all this month. Sorry, last month was a bit crazy. And with all the delays with that. So be on the lookout for that. Also, got my giveaways going on my giveaways channel. Remember, you got to be a keeper at the Bifrost level or above to get access to that channel. And when you join the Discord server, just let me know if you're a part of one of those levels. We'll get that confirmed and then get you access right now over on that channel. I'm doing a giveaway of The Abyss on 4K and two copies of The Iron Claw on Blu-ray, my favorite film of 2020. Three, and there's, of course, a plethora of other films that I have stored down there and a bunch of other films coming in over the next month or so. Very excited. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. A blessed Easter Tuesday. Happy and blessed Easter. Christus resurrexit. Resurrexit very. Have a wonderful day. And as always, God bless.